his sort of wings, you blew them up. And mine went down with a terrible sort of farting noise. Because I thought, oh dear, oh dear, I'm going to think.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of oh dear, oh dear.
Yes, you did say oh dear, oh dear.
Oh
so, Clement, you have a point and the subject in 15 seconds on swimming starting now.
Swimming is just about the only thing you can do in deep water if you're not prepared to drown. And there are a number of good strokes which I would recommend to all my listeners. Butterfly.
Tim Rice's challenge.
That's not true. There's lots of things you can do in deep water without drowning, such as diving if you have the right equipment.
Well, you can shoot yourself if you've got a gun.
He does get on. That's one of the best remarks you've made in the show. We're going to give you a bonus point for that one, Peter. Yes. And I think we'll give Tim a point for a good challenge, because it was a good challenge in which you can't really make a decision, and that's the way I judge that. But Clement, for being interrupted, gets a point and keeps the subject. And there
so
are
we've
six...
all got a point.
All except Kenneth, who's still who's still making those unfortunate noises with alarm. And 6 seconds on swimming with you, Clement, starting now.
I was pretty good at the breaststroke when I was a small boy and got worse as I grew older. Unfortunately...
So, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. He's now in second place behind our equal leaders, Tim Rice and Kenneth Williams. And Tim, it's your turn to begin. The subject is stowaways. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Stowaways have a very romantic reputation. They are always thought of as people who brave against all the odds going as they creep by night up the chain or even up the anchor into a boat. But we must remember, these men or women or children are in fact hardened criminals intent on only
Peter
one...
Peter Jones' challenge.
Two ups and three oars.
A boat has to have oars.
He's quite right. He was very generous. You said up the anchor and up the chain. You have a correct challenge. You have 40 seconds on stowaways starting now.
When I was a small boy, I used to dream of travelling abroad and going on sailing boats. But it was never as a passenger or even crew. It was as a stowaway for some reason. I had this perverse idea that it would be more exciting to be...
Kenneth Williams.
I thought he hesitated, didn't you?
Yes, he was so excited he couldn't remember what it was. Kenneth, you have a correct challenge, another point, and 24 seconds on stowaways starting now.
The most famous stowaway of all time was Maudie Fittleworth Fun with a Frankfurter. She got on board the ship dressed as a sailor, and nobody dreamed that underneath that apparently rough visage was the tender feminine form of nubile...
Tim has challenged you. Tim.
Leaving aside the fact that I've never heard of this character, she surely...
She comes up regularly in just a minute,
oh,
I
really?
Can tell you, yes.
If she stowed away, I mean, if she was in disguise, she didn't stow away. The point of stowing away is that you hide.
Well, if she was hiding, she was in disguise.
No, but she breezed on, apparently.
Well, it doesn't matter. That was her tactic, since she's Maudie Fittle, whatever her name is, you know.
Wasn't she disguised as a sailor?
As a sailor?
No, as a Frankfurter. She was disguised as a sailor. No, no, that is a way of stowing away. What she did once she got on the ship, she had to stow away, but she had to get on board first. Your chap was up the anchor, up the chain, or what it was. She was going off... No, no, she wasn't deviating from the subject. So, Kenneth, you continue with 5 seconds, starting now.
Another famous stowaway, of course, was...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of famous.
You said, yes, the famous Maudie Fittleworth, you know. What is it, Fittleworth?
Maudie Fittleworth, Fun with the Frankfurter.
A Fun with the Frankfurter, yes, that's right. She comes up regularly in just a minute, just to establish for those who don't know. 3 seconds for you, Clement, on stowaway, starting now.
You don't have to have a boat on which to stow away. You can do it...
Well, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, gained the extra point, and he's taken the lead, one ahead of Kenneth Williams. Peter Jones, will you begin the next round, the subject, keeping fish? Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Our family never had much luck keeping fish. We always used to come down in the morning and find one of them keeling over sideways or on the bottom of the bowl. And We tried several times. The children got a bit of fun out of burying one in a matchbox occasionally. And then later when they went to school, one of my sons bisected one. And the other one, who was more interested in culinary art, wanted to actually fry one of these fish that had passed away during one of these interminable nights. We tried to feed them with dried flies, ants, eggs, all kinds of things, breadcrumbs and whatnot. It's terribly important not to keep changing the water. They need the oxygen, but if you pass the water out at one end and get a new lot in at the other end, then you can sometimes discourage these fish from fighting for their lives against some of the other things that are in this bowl or aquarium. We didn't have tropical fish. That was much too expensive. And what time is the news on?
Well, Peter, they were very unfair. You obviously didn't want to keep going, but you managed to keep going.
I know.
And the audience enjoyed it, especially the news bit at the end. And so you're the first person in just a minute to go for 1 minute, 20 seconds and repeat everything a half a dozen times and deviate. And,
yes.
But you got points in that round. In fact, you got two, and you're still in fourth place.
Only 2 points for a minute and a half, basically. It seems very mean, really.
Well, shall I give you three, then?
I don't mind.
All right, give him three, yes. You're still in fourth place. But you're only one behind Tim Rice and Kenneth Williams, and only two behind our leader, Clement Freud. And who begins the next round? It is Tim Rice. Tim, the worst film I ever saw. That is the subject. Can you talk on it in the game, starting now?
It's very hard for a man who has seen so many movies, like me, to decide which was the worst, the true pits of all the incredible list of pictures that I have sat through in various cinemas, the Odeon, the Gaumont, Chequers in St. Albans, to name but three. But one film...
Clement Freud, Chand.
Hesitation?
No.
Oh. I think I did. I cannot tell
dramatic.
A lie.
It was very challenging.
I thought
dramatic
I did hesitation.
Yes, but as... when Tim doesn't act on the stage a great deal...
No, he's a guest. I mean, after all, you've got to give something.
Yeah. He suddenly brought a little bit of drama into his delivery.
Yeah.
But he didn't
I don't really
exactly
want
hesitate.
Charity, Mr. Chairman.
No, I don't think you hesitated. I give you the benefit of the doubt, as I do on occasion.
But I still haven't thought...
Leave him to make up that he's mine.
No, I have to explain my decision sometimes, otherwise I get letters, and then I have to answer them, and I can't afford the postage. Well, not on what they pay me for this, I can tell you. There are 42 seconds for the worst film I ever saw, starting now.
I must say, it's difficult for me to recall which of these enormous number of movies I have witnessed.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of movies.
You did say movies before. You said pictures, you said film and
trying to get rid of this subject.
And you've got rid of it, and Clement Freud has it. There are 36 seconds, Clement. The worst film I ever saw, starting now.
I think the worst film I ever saw was on an aeroplane when they'd run out of those things you stick in your ears. I was unable to hear the sound. It appeared to be a film about keeping fish, which was by far preferable to throwing away those animals. And
Kenneth Williams has challenged. I really think he was dragging to a halt. Yes, Kenneth, you have 16 and a half seconds to tell us about the worst film I ever saw, starting now.
It was a silent movie, and I was taken at a special showing, would you believe, at the National Theatre, and it was a Dreiser production of The Trial of Joan of Arc. Well, I thought, lousy, they spat at and all this spit.
Well, Kenneth Williams, speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and he has leapt forward into the lead alongside Clement Freud. And he also begins the next round. Kenneth, Girolamo Savonarola. That is the subject, that is the man. Can you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
He was in 1452, he's born. His first preaching was done in Florence. A most zealous priest. I don't think anyone could deny that. But he came into a head-on collision, really, with the Medici family, who were then ruling, and said that he could foresee the victory of the French. Well, when it occurred and they took that city, the aforementioned family being vanquished, he established...
Tim Rice has challenged.
Family was mentioned twice.
Yes, you mentioned his family before. So, Tim, can you talk about Girolamo Savonarola in just a minute now? You have 30 seconds left, and if you can go for that, you have a lot more points, I hope. Right, you start now.
By any standards, this guy was a few bricks short of a load. He was a nut. He was always standing on balconies, ranting away to the populace of Florence about obscure religious things that had no relevance and even less importance to the problems of the time. One of the greatest struggles that the local people had at that particular point in history was disease, which was rife in the papal army, and the popes in those days, my God, they were a nasty piece of work. In fact, there were three or four of them operating at one moment. There was one in Avignon, which is in La Belle France.
Well, Tim Rice certainly took the subject with passion and power and kept going until the whistle went, gained the extra point, and he's now one ahead in the lead of Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams, equal in second place. Peter Jones is just behind them. Clement Freud, would you begin the next round? The subject, bears. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Bears are animals which Goldilocks felt very badly about. And I remember reading or having read to me when I was small by someone employed by my parents for that specific purpose, that this lady with hair which was of Kenneth Williams-like length and color sat on her bed, and three small bears came along, and one said, "Who has been eating my porridge with which one unblocks sinks?"
Kenneth Williams, the challenge.
Well, deviation. You don't unblock sinks with porridge.
Oh, yes.
You can, but you don't. I quite agree. That was deviation.
Who doesn't?
And anyway, I think you could have had him for the hair, because your hair's not as long as Goldilocks's.
Yes, but I think
it's golden locks.
I never blow my own trumpet. I never do. I'm very modest by nature.
Kenneth, you have the subject, and there are 26 seconds and 27 seconds on bears, starting now.
I had the great good fortune to see a koala when I was over there, you know, in Australia, and I said it on the aeroplane, since we are flying Qantas, I hope very much I am going to see your mascot, because I produce him, various little commercial things, you know, it's very pleasant. And they are enchanting because they come and cuddle up to you, you know. And they make you feel that you're part of the...
Well, Kenneth Williams, taking over the role of Dame Edna Everidge, kept going till the whistle went and gained an extra point, and he's in the lead again at the end of the round. Peter Jones, will you begin the next round, milking a cow? I'm sure you have a great deal of experience on the subject. From the pained look on your face, you don't obviously want to talk on it, but will you try, starting now?
It's best, really, to get a machine which clip on to the cow's nipples and suck the milk out, which is a great relief to the animal because, of course, it's painful to be carrying all this around and not having any calves to take it away in the natural course of events. I feel quite strongly about that, really, because, you know, it's something that preoccupies me a good deal of the time. Milking cows and never having had the opportunity to get to grips, as it were, with it myself. But if one can get this apparatus, which works, I believe, hydraulically by electricity, and it has a sort of air lock system, which is not unlike unlocking the thing in the sink.
Tim Rice has challenged.
Getting what?
Tim was challenged.
Oh, yes. I thought they'd gone home for a minute.
Tim, yes.
I just felt rather sorry for him. No, there was
I'm far more sorry for the cow, I can tell you.
There was a repeat of lock.
Yes, it was, yes. I'm aware, yes, and the idea of blocking the sink. Tim, you have the subject, and you have 12 seconds on milking a cow, starting now.
My only experience of milking a cow was a very painful one for both me and said animal. I went into the wrong stable, and there was an enormous brute of a masculine animal, and I made the fatal mistake of grabbing it firmly between...
challenge.
Is the most appalling deviation.
Why?
I'd rather not say.
You mean he was about to commit the most appalling deviation?
Or he has did. He's asked to talk about milking a cow, and he goes into a place where there's a bull and grapples with that. If it's that, obviously deviation.
If that isn't deviation, I would like to
yeah,
know.
Yeah, but you didn't actually
right.
say that, Clement.
And cruelty to animals as well.
No, the bull enjoyed it.
Especially if you were using the machine that Peter Jones described. Which nobody picked him up on, which was not only hydraulic, but also worked by electricity, which I thought scientifically would have been quite an achievement. Clement, you have half a second on milking a cow starting now.
There's no way.
Well, it's a very interesting situation in just a minute. If you are interested in the score, I know some people are, and most of us go by what they contribute, and it's all equal there. But we happen to have an equal score in the lead. Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, and our guest Tim Rice, equal on 11 points. And Peter Jones isn't far behind. He never is, actually. Tim, it's your turn to begin the subject, my favourite sport. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I think it's true to say that my favourite sport is cricket, and the one trouble with this is that I'm now much more famous for liking cricket than all my attempts to write. In fact, people send me letters about cricket and hardly ever show...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
A repetition of cricket.
Only three.
Oh, I thought it was in the title.
Not sure, you're dealing with a guest, you know.
No, he's
a very
quite,
successful guest.
He's
quite,
I know.
He's quite right.
You know,
he's
Peter,
quite right.
I think you should have a little more gallant.
I've been playing very badly in the last few minutes.
No. Lovely, too. Doing nice.
No, I...
Very nicely. Look how hurt Peter Jones looks now.
Hurt? No, I'm not hurt.
But you had a correct challenge. Cricket, yes, he repeated that, Peter.
Right.
You're creeping up on our three leaders, and you have 47 seconds to talk on my favourite sport, starting now.
One of the best sports I ever met was in Sydney. At the dock side, her name was Marianne Pulverbatch, and she was a real sport, I'm here to tell you. And at Christmas, one could describe her as a cracker. That I was visiting the Antipodes, that I made her acquaintance, and we went out to dinner, and she became... people see them put their buzzers down as soon as I started speaking.
Well, I think that's what actually happened. He did her.
Yeah.
Took her out to dinner and erred, and as he also paused... In just a minute, Kenneth got in first with the challenge, and there are 15 seconds for you, Kenneth, to talk about my favourite sport starting now.
My favourite sport used to be football, but then I got kicked and my nose was put out of joint, and consequently I suffered terribly from what is known...
Tim challenged.
Do you have a joint in your nose?
Oh, yes.
Well, he doesn't now. That accounts for it. It's a fascinating nose, and I've often wondered about it, and here we are getting the true story.
Kenneth, you have 4 seconds on my favourite sport, starting now.
So I don't play much anymore, but I do enjoy a glee.
Kenneth kept going till the whistle and has moved forward into a definite lead, and he also begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject is bluff. A great deal of that is shown in this game, but will you talk on the subject starting now?
Yes, well, you bluff people by pretending something is so that it didn't really occur at all. You see, I said, well, I have read experience with juvenile lead in Skegness, and since nobody went to check up at that actual place, I got the job. It was only £3 a week, but I did terribly well, ASM small parts, which go on, say, the Duchess, the Waits, or the Vicar's Ear, or whatever it was, you see. I had to do my hair all sort of grey, and my inside of the hat, oh, dear, it was revolting. People said, you know, you look awful. Awful. And I did, because I was a character actor, and of course the character actor, you have to do all those
things. Tim Rice has challenged.
Two character actors.
There were two character actors, yes.
Funny, ain't it?
So Tim has a point, and the subject, and 30 seconds on bluff, starting now.
Bluff is something which I'm not very good at. My face is transparently honest, and anything I say is always the truth. Continually accurate. Anybody who hears me utter knows that what I am giving forthwith from my larynx and vocal cords is actually the whole...
Clement Freud challenge.
You actually is.
Yes, you said actually before, I'm afraid. So Clement has a point, and equal there, just behind Kenneth, the last round. Very exciting for those who keep the score. And 13 seconds on bluff, Kenneth. Starting now.
Bluff is something that blind men play with enormous enjoyment. I can't remember how many times I've seen sightless persons frolicking upon the field behind the vicarage.
And nobody challenging him on one of the most devious thoughts I've ever heard in just a minute. Poor blind people frolicking about. No, but Clement, no one challenged you. You kept going till the whistle went and you got an extra point then. So let me give you the final score. For those who are interested, Peter Jones, in spite of speaking a great deal, did finish in fourth place. A few points behind our guest who triumphed last time. And he came in third place, but it's very interesting. He was 1 point behind Clement Freud, who was 1 point behind this week's winner. Oh, glory be, lackaday, as he would say, Kenneth Williams. So, a popular win with our audience here in the studio. I hope it was equally popular with our listeners, wherever you are. Until we tune in... I've gone. I'm going to lose the job. Until you tune in again, same time next week. Goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.